morning, everybody, again. As we come to God's Word this morning, we're doing something that's kind of a one-off special day here for us. And if you're a guest with us, it's kind of like you're sitting in a family meeting. And I said earlier, I mentioned something before the offering about finances, and I said we would talk a little more about it later, and we are going to talk about it. I don't apologize for the fact that we as a church need to talk about finances. I know sometimes some of you, maybe in this room and others in this world, think that all the church does is ask for our money. And today we're going to talk about that we are in need of finances for certain things. And we do ask, but we don't apologize for it. We want to come and make you well informed of what we're doing. We want to talk to our family here of Leduc Fellowship Church about what has been happening, what will be happening, and what we're in the middle of. But if you're a guest with us, I hope you just can listen in on this family meeting and see how this family does its business. And I think that that's a true statement of who a family is how they do their family business. If you walked in and you're a guest with us and you got one of these pamphlets and one of these commitment cards, I hope you can read it and understand what we're about. But it's not meant for you. It's meant for our community here. And we did not mean to offend you if we did in any way with that. And we hope you don't take it that way. We simply want to talk about what God has been doing and what God is doing in our midst here. And we need to talk about that before we launch into our new sermon series next week. We thought this would be a good time to do it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Called it, I didn't know what to call it, so I said Reimagine 2.0 because we're entering into the Reimagine 2.0 capital campaign. And I just came up with this quick title of Faithfully Following, because as I thought about what God has laid on my heart and what I need to share with you today, it truly comes down to a faithful, sustained following, imperfect as it is, because we are humans, of this church and its leadership to follow God's leading through the years. Now I want to give you a little bit of a history, and I'll get it wrong, because I like history, and I get a lot of things right. Sometimes our years get a little mixed up around here as when did things happen, and some of you are laughing because you know we struggle with that. I think we've been around about 25 years. Started in 1992, roughly one or two, so 25 years. When we did our 20th year celebration, we said we didn't do it right, we'd do it better on the 25th, and I think we've missed the 25th. So wait for the 30th. We're going to have an amazing, maybe we'll do 27 and a half. Just mix it up a little bit. But this church has been in existence for about 25, 26 years. And it came off of a hurtful time when another church was shut down and the people kind of scattered, and a number of people, around 30 or 35 people, gathered together in a home to talk about what could be and what they should do and where they should go. And I believe the inkling at first was this was just a short prayer time to decide where we would go. And yet, through those discussions, it became real that maybe they should stay together as a church and stay together in the same denomination that they had come out of, even though I know that was some discussion and some debate because of some of the things that had happened. But they gathered together and they decided to keep gathering together, and they grew past homes into other sizes of buildings and other things, and through those years, through this community hall and that community hall, here, there, and everywhere, till they ended up renting this facility that used to be the Elks Lodge. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But from the very beginning, the DNA of Leduc Fellowship Church was a DNA of inclusion and unity, a DNA of compassion for the community, and especially for those who did not know the hope of Jesus Christ. And the DNA of this church, best I can figure it out from my looking at the history, was a heartfelt desire to not be caught up in old traditions that just were tradition and serve really no kingdom purpose, but to be a people that were released to love and care and open themselves up to people from outside the walls of the church and to meet the needs of the community as best they could. And I know one of the first ministries that they started was carrying on the children's ministry that they had in the old church in a new location to show the heart of this congregation to care for the most vulnerable of our community, the children. when we did our 20th anniversary 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, whenever we did that, depending on the dates you pick, I remember having a lunch or breakfast time with everybody that we could gather up that met or that we met together with that was here when we started this church. And not everybody was able to make it, but we had a good little group back there in that back room of Smitty's. And I said, tell me about the early days. Tell me what happened. What was it like? And I truly expected, out of just normal human nature, not bitterness or not bad temperedness or not bad people, I expected to hear a lot of, well, they did this and we didn't like that. And I didn't hear any of that. What I heard was people said, we just wanted to love people. And we didn't want to be tied down with some tradition that really didn't matter. And we didn't want to jump through hoops just to jump through hoops. And we didn't want to close out the world. We just wanted to open ourselves up to those who needed the hope of Christ. For 2 hours, I didn't hear a nasty word about anybody. For 2 hours, I heard dreams of people that wanted those things to happen: inclusion, unity, compassion, community care, and to open up the hope of the gospel for those who needed it. And for 25 years, folks, we have tried to steward that vision the best we can. Have we messed up? Yeah. Have we faltered? For sure. Have we missed opportunity? I'm sure we've missed more than we've ever known. But we've also walked in faith into that vision. And that included, how many years ago, Warren? Anybody know how many years ago we started using this facility as the Elks Hall? 18, 19, 20, somewhere in that realm. And then to the point where it was up for sale and the city put it up and we had an opportunity to buy it, and we did. And to begin renovations of this space. And we didn't realize till we started thinking about building on that how much we'd put into this. We figured before we even started the renovations that we're now in that we put in about $800,000 into this facility to bring it up to snuff and to make it better, to get the beer smell out of it, because it was the Elks Hall, cigarette smell. Donnie wanted to burn it down, and he's a firefighter, he's a fire inspector. He would know how to do it if somebody could have done it. Donnie would have done it. I think he thought it was too risky of getting caught. And I know he didn't like coming in here and cleaning up. I can only imagine what was going through his head. But then it was ours. Long before I was here, it was ours. We began to transform it into what it could be, and we've continuously done that for those many years. I always hated going to Warren or Don or somebody on the building team and saying, guys, we need that wall taken down or we need a wall put up. And I knew the response was, if I said, we need that wall, a wall put up, they just would say, well, we just took one down. And if I said, we need a wall taken down, they would say, well, we just put one up. I said, but the church is not the same today as it was last year or 5 years ago, and we need to adapt as we grow. In 2012, kind of looking back at the history of the church and seeing the trajectory of growth that God had us on and still had us on, we as leadership began to pray about the need to grow with the ministry. And what should we do? And we prayerfully submitted ourselves before God and said, what do you want us to do? How can we best steward your people, your finances, your facility that you have given to us? How can we steward those things well? And we felt a clear leading by God to say that we felt that he was calling us to expand our facility here. I know some people are against buildings for churches, and you don't need buildings, just go in the neighborhoods. And you know what? There's a lot of validity to that. But all along the way, our vision has been the same, that we would walk intimately with God and that we would invite other people to journey with us. And that happens in the walls of this church and beyond the walls of this church. And if you think it only happens here, then well, come talk to me. I'd like to straighten you out a little bit. And if you think it can't happen in your neighborhood, I'd like to really straighten you out a little bit, because it can. But we wanted to care for God's people, to disciple them, but also to be able to grow in our impact around the area, as well as to care for our greater community. And we felt that adding on to the facility for a lot of reasons would meet that need. We wanted more and better dedicated space for our children and youth. We have had children's ministry in every room in this place and shoved them in every little closet here and there. And some of you are adults, were in that little room, that little work room back there, and put your handprints on that door. And I know Kim DeLancey taught back there, and it's a little room in between other rooms, kind of a passageway, and that was a children's space. And we had offices, and we even had a few years ago a meeting up here, and I don't know if you could hear them, but I could hear the kids screaming. The jujubes were up here. I could hear them screaming during my sermon, and it wasn't because that was a great sermon. They were just loud. We wanted expanded fellowship and foyer space because this room was starting to get more crowded, and there wasn't anywhere to go afterwards to just have good fellowship time. We needed to expand our celebration space because it at times gets a little tight in here, and we wanted to be able to grow with that. But at the same time, we wanted the ability to service our greater community just as much as serving our LFC community. And that's one that I'll say every time because I think it is the heartbeat of this church. We had done a lot for our community and had a lot of groups in here. We wanted more groups in here. We wanted to expand that they could use it. And I tell you, I hear from people all the time, they're waiting to see what this space looks like because our community is in need of that. I'm not sure if it was 2008 or 2009, whatever year it was that we had the Alberta Winter Games here in Leduc. We did the food service back in our fellowship hall because we have a commercial kitchen, beauty of having the old Elks Lodge. And I remember sitting there with the lovely ladies and gentlemen who were putting the luncheons together. And time after time after time, I heard them say, I got married here. I came to a big bash here. I got drunk here. I got whatever here. And we've lost this space. And it broke my heart as a pastor that a community would feel that a church not only took their space but doesn't care about them. That we took it so we can use it and you can't anymore. And the beauty was that we started to dream then to say, how do we give this space as much as possible back to our greater community? I'll never forget the year of H1N1 flu vaccines. When we hosted our first one here, they were lined up out the back door in the parking lot, and it was okay. It was September. It was warm, but the next one was in October, and it was supposed to be for children. And I remember having Penny call the Alberta Health Services and saying, "We want to chat about the next flu clinic." And the lady on the phone said, "Well, what, you don't want us to do it there?" We said, "No, we just want to do it better." And we had them come and look at our facility, and we got stanchions. To wiggle people around like Disneyland in the foyer. And when they hit the wall of that door there, when they hit that doorway, I don't know who it was. I know it was Phyllis and maybe Gladys sitting there with hot tea and hot chocolate for them. And these people came out of the cold with their kids and gave them hot tea and hot chocolate. I remember Steve running around trying to get the microwave out here because people were trying to figure out how to warm up bottles. He moved the microwave out here. We called Donnie and said, "Can you get some vests? Because the parking's a mess out here and we're getting killed out here." And he brought vests and he said, "I'm quitting at noon. I'm coming back to help with this because this is exciting." We put on Lion King for the kids up here. And the kids sat quietly here watching the movie. And the parents sat over here chatting. And Mike Stadnick, some of you know Mikey Stadnick, peace officer for the city of Leduc, came up and said, "Well, thanks a lot, Dennis. I've lost a job because of you." So what do you mean lost a job? Well, everywhere else we've had to go as peace officers, but there's been fights about these flu shots. And here everybody's so happy they're sending me home for the day. That's the kind of place we want to be. We just want to do it better. So it's not just for our own needs, but it's for our greater community needs. And I'm not just saying that to blow smoke up anything. You fill in the gap. I'm saying it because it is the heartbeat of this church and always has been. 2013, we began to work with Frank Hilbeck, our architect. We showed Frank our building and said, "This is our building, this is what we have, this is what we need, and here's our wish list." And he went away and said, "Well, that's a lot to work with. We'll get back to you when we have a plan." And we thought it was going to take a long time, and I think it was less than about 3 weeks. He came back and said, "We have an offer or something we would like to show you." And I'll never forget, we met right back in that room because we didn't have rooms. Other things were happening in the building. So we put tables up and he brought in this model and said, "This is what we propose." And it was too big. We said, "It's way too big." He goes, "Yeah, that's the second phase. Here, let me show you the first phase." And we said, "We love it. It's exactly what we need." And that's what we've been doing ever since. Spring of 2014, we did a feasibility study with the NAB Foundation. North American Baptist is our denomination. Phil Intima, the ex executive director of the NAB came in himself to do the feasibility study, met with about 40% of our families at that time, and was going to meet with them Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and it was Super Bowl Sunday, I'll never forget, because he wanted to meet with us quick so we could do it, and then he could get on his plane and we could all go watch the Super Bowl. And I was a wreck. I was nervous about what he would bring, what he would say. And he met with us as elders in the old youth room, and he gave us words of encouragement and words that have haunted me ever since. He said, "This is one of the best feasibility studies we've ever done. There's great unity and vision and excitement in this church." He said, "This church's ministry would be hindered if we did not move forward with the building project. That he felt we had the support of the people to do it." Those were the encouraging words. And then he said, "Don't forget what got you here." Those are the words that have haunted me ever since. Don't forget what got you here. Don't forget what has allowed the growth. Don't forget what has allowed you to care for your community. And while that's a wonderful thing, it was haunting in the sense that I knew it was hard and it was getting harder as we continued to grow. And yet we had to find a way to continue to love people very intimately, very personally, and not corporately. Not institutionally, not organizationally. We need to continue to grow and love people the best we can. And then he told me something else. He looked at me personally. He took me aside later in my office and he said, "Dennis, it would be unconscionable for you to leave as a pastor until this project is done. So don't you dare think about leaving." I said, "I'm not going anywhere." Summer of 2014 at the Triennial I think I may have shared this with you before, Triennial down in Sacramento. Phil came up to me and said, "Hey, there's an opening for a regional minister in the Northwest. You come from there. Would you like to do it?" I said, "No, because somebody once told me it would be unconscionable for me to leave till this building project was done, and I'm not going anywhere." That's just one reason. But I wasn't looking to leave. Folks, we prayed. We felt God's leading. We followed. And then we sought the approval of this congregation, the membership of this congregation, with the feedback of everybody, not just the members, about whether we should proceed with this building project or not. And I believe our vote to do so was 97.4% to proceed with the building project. We began a capital campaign that would normally take 6 months. We did it in 6 weeks. I think I'm still coming back from that a little bit. It wore me out. It was a struggle. We set a goal for 600,000 as our goal of pledges over 3 years, and we exceeded that on our first Sunday of our commitments, I believe at the level of about 614,000. We've moved forward with the vision. We've continued on to do what God has called us to do, and we've continued to build as we have set forth. And we've done so as tightly as we can. Warren and Ron, you guys have done a commendable job of keeping this thing as low cost as possible. You folks have given faithfully, and we appreciate that. And we chose to do this, then the economy tanked, and we have still done okay. We've done well. Costs have gone up in some things, or some things we didn't expect. Sprinkler system in here. There's fire, don't go anywhere, folks. It's going to rain. It's going to be good. We're covered in here. We didn't expect to be covered in here. That was tens of thousands of dollars extra with a new water main we didn't expect. With a roof we had to fix to make sure that the old roof didn't leak on the new space. There were all these things, and yet we still maintained as tightly as we could to the budget we had. And now we're getting down to the end of it, and we're not quite going to have enough money. At the same time, we're supposed to do more for the parking lot, and we're partnering with the city, as you've heard earlier, and I don't want to go into that, but we're hoping and prayerfully hoping and feeling like God is answering our prayers to allow us to find favor with the city of Leduc, that they would cover that cost so we could do this phase, Reimagine 2.0, to raise money for three things, but hopefully only for two things. The three things that the motion from the elders that has been changed would support is, first of all, paying for the rest of this building project as we have planned it, which is not a lot more, but probably about $60,000-$70,000 in that range somewhere that we need it to finish it. Then the second thing was to do the parking lot, and then the third thing was whatever's left to do put on debt retirement. Now we're hoping that that middle one gets just taken care of by the city. We've been praying for favor with the city, and we think we're seeing it. And we don't want to be presumptuous. We don't want to put them in a weird pickle spot, but we think that they want to partner with us in a way that will really benefit us. So we are entering into Reimagine 2.0, as we told you back in the spring about this, to raise $400,000 over 3 years to help with those three things, but hopefully just those two things. Finish the project the way it needs to be finished. Get the things done that we committed to doing, so we don't look like we can't finish the projects that we started. We just need to finish that. But then anything over that would go towards debt retirement to pay down that mortgage, so we don't have to carry that heavy mortgage. I want to call your attention to the brochure and the card. You can read the brochure. It tells you everything I just kind of told you. On the back is a giving grid of what we would need to make this happen. And the commitment card is very similar to the commitment card we used in Reimagine 1.0. And it's very simple. You can give a one-time cash gift. You can give you can give over 156 weeks, which is 3 years, every month for 36 months, a year, every year for 3 years, or however you want to give. We just want to encourage those who are part of our LFC family to just take time to pray about it. Pray how God would lead you to be a part of this. I'm going to tell you what you're going to be a part of here, coming up here. This is just a precursor. But we want you to pray about it. Next Sunday, we're going to have our Commitment Sunday. A little less fanfare than what we did the last time, but we're going to have worship next week, and we're going to have a chance for you to come and just lay these in or put them in the offering plate. And we're going to see what God allows us to continue to do in the future because of the commitments that will be made. Joanne and I are praying about it. How can we give? How can we give even sacrificially to help out with this? Because we believe in this project. So we want you to do the same thing. And I stand here before you today unapologetically asking you to do this. And some people say I apologize too much. Back in 2009, I got my Canadian citizenship. And they told me I had to apologize a lot, so that's why I do it. But I'm not apologetic in this. And I'll tell you why. We prayerfully sought God's face. And we feel like he was leading. And we faithfully followed. We run into a few wrinkles here and there. Things cost more than we thought they would. Things were overrun here or there. And yet, that does not change what God has called us to do. So as a family, I just say we need to pull together and make this happen. And if we can pay down a whole chunk of our debt to do it, in doing it, that's even better. No coercion, no arm twisting, no anything other than we ask you to pray about it and to faithfully consider what God would ask you to do. And I want to tell you again that I am unapologetic because I believe the reason we have added on is because I believe, and this is hard for me to say because it sounds like I'm bragging and I don't mean it that way at all, but I feel like God is honoring what we have chosen to do as a church over the last 25 years. How we have chosen to live our lives and lead our ministries. And it's not because Dennis is a great leader. It's not because our elders are great leaders, which I think they are. It's because we have stumbled through life trying to follow Christ's call to do what he's asked us to do. To walk intimately with him. To invite others to journey with us. And to care in a truly compassionate manner for those that God has placed us among. I just want to share with you, I think, you know, I was just thinking long and hard this week, and I was struggling how to present this. Didn't help that I had an abscessed tooth this week, and it was just kind of the pain was not allowing my brain to think the most clearly. But I believe yesterday that God just said, you know what, here's some principles I think you guys have lived by that I think, no, he doesn't think. I think that he has blessed us because. And I just want to walk you through those very quickly. I want to read one passage of scripture to encourage us today. But the first stewardship principle that I think we have followed is the idea of the principle of faithful in little, faithful in much. And I'm not going to read that passage to you, but in Matthew chapter 25 is one of the three times Jesus gives this parable of some sort. There are different kinds, but here he gives them and he says, you know what? For those who have been faithful with a little, I'll give more to. And some use that for health and wealth, and I don't say that at all, but I think we've been faithful to what God has given us, the people he's given us, the facility he's given us, the community that he has given to us. And we have, in our small way, been faithful to follow him in that. I didn't hear this today because I was eavesdropping. I did it because I was walking through from here to the back. But I heard somebody, and I won't say who, but I heard somebody in our kitchen who was here at the very beginning of this church say something to the effect, I didn't hear the first part, but I know what preceded it, about the building and how it's coming together and how good it looks. And this person said, who would have thought this little handful of people could have ever pulled this off? Who would have thought 35 people gathering in the Gollies' home, caring for the kids in the garage, would be able to pull this off? And I think, folks, and I can say this because I wasn't here for it, I think you were faithful then, and you've been faithful ever since. And I think God says, you've been faithful with that little, I'm going to give you more. And out of that is the principle of management over ownership, that we have come to understand that we are not owners of anything, but God is the owner of all, and that he has given to us in trust certain things to manage. He's given us people, you. He's given us this facility that we got for a great deal. And we're going to turn around and we're going to sock it to the city for that little piece of land. We're going to give it to them. No, we're not. We've stewarded well the love for our community that was begun 25 years ago and heart of 25, 35 people. So God has given more because I think we've been faithful with little, and I believe that God understands that we are slowly but surely learning that we are managers, not owners of any of this. I want to read to you, this is a long passage, I'm going to actually cut it a little shorter, but 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we'll have it up on the screen, but if you have your Bible, open it. This is King David talking about the plans for the temple that he so wanted to build, but God says, you're not to build it. Your son's going to build it. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29, the last chapter of 1 Chronicles, starting in the first verse, I just want to read this to you. Just listen to these words. Then King David said to the whole assembly, my son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. All of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple, for his holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? Then the leaders of families, the officers of tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave towards the work of the temple God gave them. The temple of God, 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold. And that's about 100 metric ton. 10,000 talents of silver, 340 metric ton. 18,000 talents of bronze, 610 metric tons. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord and the custody of Jehiel, the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Just a little more here. This is David's prayer. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." And then after he prays, he says this, "But who am I?" Still part of his prayer. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." What David understood and what we would be well to understand and learn is that we are not giving our money for his work. We are giving his money for his work. And when we understand that what we have is his and we give it back to him for his work, whatever he calls you to give to, whether it's this project or another project, when you can understand that and follow it, you'll find peace in your life like you've never known before. It's not ours. If I've said anything that I remember people bringing back to me more times than not, was a statement I made a number of years ago, and maybe it wasn't our first go-round of this campaign, was I said that God, not some people are in full-time ministry, everybody's in full-time ministry, God just funnels his money through different businesses. And so maybe your paycheck is for your ministry, but maybe it has the name of your business on it, the company you work for, the organization you work for. It's God's money funneling to you so you can do his work. And maybe your paycheck doesn't say LaDuke Fellowship Church on it, but it says something else. And God wants you to use that for his good. And in that comes responsibility, that when we are managers, we have responsibility, and our responsibility is to give abundantly, to give sacrificially, and to give joyfully. And I know some people don't like those words tied to giving. But he wants us to give abundantly. He wants us to give sacrificially. And he wants to give us to give out a sense of joy, because that shows that we've learned that we're not the owners, we're the managers. I just want to tell you one story real quick about sacrificial giving. A number of years ago, when I worked for the Alberta Baptist Association, we were closing a church down, and I was okay with it because it was an old church that wasn't really meeting the needs of a lot of people. It had dwindled down to almost nothing. They were still trying to do all their services in German, and sorry, Rudy, but not a lot of people in the area spoke German anymore. And I remember when it came up that they were thinking about closing their doors and that they would sell their property and the property would come back to the association. I thought it could be better used. And then somebody sat me down and told me the story of Bethany Baptist Church in Lethbridge. Many years ago, German immigrants came to Lethbridge to work in the beet fields. And the first winter they were there, they lived in tents because they didn't have money for homes. And they got through the winter. And then that next season of life came through, and before the next winter came, they decided they had a choice to make. They could either put their money together and build a church and live in tents for one more winter, or they could build homes for themselves. Well, guess what they chose to do? They built a church. And they lived in those tents for one more winter to build the church first. All of a sudden, closing the door of that church was a lot harder for any of us to think about than it was before. But that generation, those immigrant field workers, could teach us all a lesson about giving sacrificially for God's work. But I believe they knew that they weren't owners, they were managers. And I believe they knew wholeheartedly that they had a task that God had called them to. And for 80-some years, that church did the work of Christ in that community. With a couple other principles, I'll just tell you real quick. One is the redemption principle, that we are here to, on God's behalf, to redeem lots of different things. We're here to redeem this building. It was used for not such great purposes early on. There's some good things that happened here, some great things that happened here. The Elks did some good work. There's a lot of partying that happened here that was not honoring to God. And to say that this space is now dedicated to God, but also used to meet the needs of the greater community at the same time, is an amazing thing. So we're here to redeem not only buildings, we're here to redeem lives. We're here to take people who have walked far away from God and bring them back into a saving and walking and breathing and loving relationship with their Heavenly Father, and that's what we want to do. Last little piece here is this, just this principle of a common calling, but a unique opportunity. And that God calls every one of his followers to do his kingdom work, and we have followed that generically, but we have followed it very specifically to the call that God has given us in Leduc and the area around us. That we love our city, we love our county, we love Kalmar and Devon and wherever people come from, and we can send people back to. We love those places. We have heard the call of God to make a difference, and we have opened our eyes to the specific need that he's put before us. And we have been striving for 25 years to be faithful to that calling. And we will continue to do so. And the last thing is just the legacy principle. What do we want our legacy to be? I wouldn't stand here and ask you to put money into a church that's just going to protect our own view of things and not care for anybody else. It's not in me anymore to do that. I was a part of a church that did that for years. I don't want to be a part of that anymore. And when we launched Reimagine 1.0, the initial capital campaign, I said this: we are to be an instrument with God's will for justice, peace, and freedom to be done in our world and in our community. And I said this: we are called to live intentionally, sacrificially, and powerfully to the glory of God and the benefit of the city and its people. We are here for the benefit of others more than ourselves. We desire to be passionate followers of Christ, loving the city and county of Leduc and its people. The church is at her best when she is caring for others spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, reaching out in Christ's name. And the church is dying when she focuses only on itself and how she might survive. And then out of that, I said, reimagine. This is where the reimagine theme came from. I said, reimagine a church that assumes that God and not the church is the answer. Reimagine what happens when we join in the work of God wherever it is found. Reimagine what happens when we are captivated by the whole story of God. Reimagine what happens when we are on mission with God and seek to live the agenda that he gives, not that we give. Reimagine a people who live out the hope of the gospel to all they come in contact with. Reimagine that. Sorry, I'm just trying to read my own writing here. Reimagine that we live as useful religious people for the benefit of others. Reimagine that we are about the kingdom of God now and not the far off heaven someday. All of those things are part of what we want to see happen through our gathering as a community and our caring for our greater community. And I want to challenge us over the next week especially, but even beyond that, to be in prayer for those things. As those who are part of our fellowship here, our community, our family, as you take this, I just ask that you would just take this and just pray for it. Pray over it as a family. And don't say, I don't think I can help, but I'll pray. Pray and just say, God, if you want me to, you'll tell me how to be a part of it. I want us to do that. I want us to come back next week having prayed for this. But I want us to imagine the next 25 years of living the same heartbeat, living out the same passion as the last 25 years. And honestly, folks, I've said this a few times over the last year, I really believe that we're just getting started. I really feel like we're just scratching the surface. We're still stumbling and learning and growing and falling and fumbling, but God's going to show us what to do. And I believe we have amazing things in store for us. So unapologetically, I ask those who are part of our family to pray for your part in this. And we'll come back next week. We'll give our commitments if we can next week. If you aren't ready next week, you can give it any time after that. We're going to ask that you prayerfully consider what you can do for next week. And I know I could go another hour here just to say this. I know finances are tight for a lot of us. But I'm going to ask that we all pray about what God would want us to do. I want to pray for us now. The worship team's going to come. We're going to sing our last song here today. And then we're going to go out of here and we're going to ask that we just cover this in prayer over this week. And that we would cover the work of Leduc Fellowship in the long haul, the next 25 years, to God's glory. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you. And we commit ourselves to you as faulty and frail, as hurting and struggling. And yet, Father, I believe if we've done anything right over these last 25 years, it has been to follow you with our whole heart. To seek your face, and even when we make mistakes, to repent and come back to you as leaders and as a community together, as a family. Lord, we have not been perfect. We would ask that we would follow you even more faithfully into the future. So, Father, give us your wisdom in this moment. Give us your wisdom over this next week as we pray about this and over the months to come. But, Father, you have led us into this project, and I know you will take us through it. You will allow us to finish this well and to finish it strongly. Not that we might have an edifice to ourselves here in this building, but we might be a lighthouse to those who need to know your hope, to know the gospel that comes only through Jesus Christ. Father, we humbly commit that to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we sing our last song.